This tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King was originally aired on Juno Afternoon. It was produced by the Juno Black Awareness Association.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like it. Solid. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many.
Good afternoon, Juno, and welcome to this week's conversation with the Black Awareness Association. This show is a weekly collaboration of the Black Awareness Association of Juno and KTOO Radio. As most of you know, the annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day holiday is celebrated on Monday, January 18th. Our show today is dedicated and in honor of this great American who stood for peace and had a dream of freedom, justice, and equality for not only his people, but for the world at large. Today, we are honored to have two incredible guests to join us in the discussion. First, we'd like to introduce Dr. Lalonzo Patterson from Anchorage, Alaska, and Pastor Bobby Lewis of Harlem, New York. We're going to allow them both to share about 2 minutes about themselves so that you can be acquainted with who they are. And we just want to start off by saying, welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Dr. Patterson, would you like to share just a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Thank you very much for inviting me to be on today. However, I've just gotten through doing some other stuff, so you get what you got today. I don't do well if I talk about myself, but I guess looking at my granddaughter, it gives me a little spark of hope today, but I hail from New Orleans, Louisiana, by way of Wilson, Louisiana. Spent about 11 years in the military, came to Alaska, settled for about 7 years in the Fairbanks area, became a pastor there of the Corinthian Baptist Church, served for about 3 years, and was then called to the Shiloh Baptist Church in Anchorage, Alaska. My focus was to build ministry in Alaska to impact and affect the political system as well as the spiritual deficits that existed among our people in Alaska. We've been here now for about 59 years, or right at 60 years, in terms of work in Alaska. I've served in the government and the local city administration, and served across the institution, been chair of the parole system, and I've done a number of things. We have built probably about 8 to 10 churches throughout Alaska during our time, and I recently retired in 2017. I have a family of 5 children, and of course, 5 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren, and some wonderful daughter-in-laws and et cetera. I spent much of my time in Alaska because I found here that God had a purpose for me and to reach out and make a difference in that. So my life, I've been there. I served, again, as I said, about 12 to 14 years in the as chair of the parole system. I pastored the Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church for about 49 years. And of course, now I am the executive director for the American Baptist Churches for Alaska. I serve in the A.B. Patterson Community Ministries, and we participate and trying to make a difference in the life of people. There are much that need to be done in Alaska yet, and mine is to spend the rest of my life focused and committed to the elevation of humanity, to bring about something Martin Luther King said, building the community up and so that it works for the kingdom of God. So mine is to help usher into existence in this day and time the beloved community.
Yes.
We believe one people with one purpose will form one community. We believe that the hope of our tomorrow rests upon the education and relevance of issues today. We're committed to the transformation of the kingdom of God into the hearts of men and to make a difference wherever we go. I think I'll just stop right there just to say it's been a wonderful life here in Alaska. Mm. And they've heard me say it many times under several of the governors I've served, is that I lived in Alaska and I want to live here for the rest of my life. And when I die and go to heaven, I want to go from here. Because when you stay in Alaska, you look better.
Amen. And one thing that he did not say, that yes, we are he is the patriarch of the Patterson family. And that includes the Juno Pattersons. And we are honored to be a part of that.
You didn't have to tell my age. Yes, I'm 83 years old.
He's 83. Thank you, Dad. Pastor Bobby?
Hello. I am Pastor Bobby Lewis, and I am from Virginia Beach, Virginia. My beautiful parents, Bishop and Mrs. the late Bishop Rudolph Lewis and Maureen Lewis of Virginia Beach. And I moved to New York in 96 to come and pursue my Broadway dream, singing on Broadway. And God took me to Central Baptist Church on Broadway, right on Broadway. And I've been pastoring there ever since. And I got to Juno because I, every year for about 20 years, I've been coming to Fairbanks to work with the Summer Arts Festival. And just fell in love. And one of the girls there moved to Juno, and her husband became a provost at the University of Juno. And they invited me up, Nancy over at the Jack, invited me 1 year, how many years ago? 12 years ago.
I believe it's 12.
So coming here. Mm-hmm. But one thing I love doing every year I come to Alaska is sharing our history, that history from that West Coast of Africa over here, that Middle Passage. And I was amazed how many people did not know
right. The
story, did not know the full story, because it really wasn't taught. And so every time I get a chance to celebrate Black history, I show up. Because it's beautiful. It's not Black history. It's American history, you know. And as I travel, I learned history. As I travel all the wonderful places. And so tonight, I hope we can help a little bit in that.
Yes.
In talking about Dr. King.
Yes. Thank you so much. So we're going to get right into some of the discussion, and we have a few questions that we'd like to ask, and we're just going to put them out there and let you gentlemen just share. And the first question I'd like to ask is, as you know, we're celebrating Dr. King, and his day of celebration is on Monday. This show is airing on the 14th and also on the 18th. But what does that mean? What does this day, the MLK Day, mean to you personally? Dr. Patterson?
Oh, well, MLK Day means a lot to me. As you know, in 86, Governor Sheffield appointed me as the first representative for establishing the MLK ministry. Well, he didn't call it a ministry, but a celebration in Alaska. And we built that, we organized it, and incorporated it in the state as the Martin Luther King Foundation of Alaska. Across Alaska, we sought to familiarize people with the relevance of Dr. King within the far north. We were able in the 90s, et cetera, to build a memorial in Anchorage and to have a street named after him and to have an institutional facility named after him here because of the work. In the memorial, we are able to show that Dr. King's relevance to not only to the world, but particularly to people in Alaska, natives, Asians, Hispanics, etc., that his work touched all of us in a way. We had a company come up and do a beautiful statue to him. King means for me a reminder and a consciousness of our inhumanity to humanity, which is to say that how we fail in the effort and the philosophy of caring for one another. I think part of our work has been able to expose gently to people while we preach the gospel that the deficit in our relationship is that we have not learned how to love and trust one another and to understand color has no relevance in this generation, because while we try to talk about us and them, we come to realize that us is in the back room and them is who we're married to in many cases. And so we have to look at that. We're just people associating with people and being who we are. King marked for me a break from my history. And you just raise your hand and I'll stop. But he marks for me coming from the 1930s. Where I was born in a little town called Wilson, Louisiana. And of course, along that whole line of the Mississippi-Louisiana corridor is where much of my people come from. And they were all, for the most part, field workers. Following the history of that, I was born thinking that most folks say I was poor, but I didn't know it. And that was a good thing. Because I thought everything was like that until we embraced academics and matriculated from institutions that help us to share in the broad base of humanity and its understanding of the world globally. And thus, King reveals to me the capacity of this generation and how that we are able then to help humanity and to make things better. I bought into his whole idea of nonviolence, and I bought into the fact of our equity. If you remember, one of his saying was black supremacy is just as dangerous as white supremacy. And out of that premise, I drew the fact that he was a man who was concerned and who was fair and realized that the relevance of one to the other has not to do with our color or even our language, but it has to do with our concern for the common man and realize other people hurt, other people share, and our common base, but we all need roughly the same thing. So King means a lot to me as a boy. He helped to deliver me from the fact that my father, at the age of 7, my father was attempted to be hung by a group out of Mississippi. And of course, then he was able to escape and save his life. And thus we migrated to New Orleans. And of course, my journey began across the world and around the world in different places. But that shaped my character, it formed my commitment, and it established my concerns in the midst of my ministry that I could make a difference in the world. And that's kind of the driving point. The epiphany of that was I saw in him what I wanted to be toward mm-hmm. humanity, and I was able to merge that with the ministry that God called me to express. And so here, 70 years later in ministry, I see how that merges from the man of God, so that I've been able to do some things for the kingdom. The kingdom means a lot to me.
Thank you, Dad. I'm in tears. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Bobby, I'll just ask you another question, if you wouldn't mind. Okay. Dr. King accomplished much in his short years. He was violated. He was so many times. His life endangered, his family threatened. But he kept going. What do you think caused him to keep going and accomplish all of the things that he was able to do and ended up just revolutionizing this world? What do you think kept him going?
Well, I know the thing that kept him going was his faith.
Mm.
Because without faith, you only have what you see and what mm-hmm. you feel,
mm-hmm.
you know. But without faith, you can only deal with the pain of what's happening in front of you. But I love Dr. King because he didn't need to do this.
No.
The brother was brilliant.
Yeah.
He was so smart, could have gone anywhere, finally got settled. His wife was educated. These are educated Black people. But the thing that threw him off was injustice to anyone, was injustice to everyone.
Oh, you know? Yes.
And that comes from inside. That's
yes.
faith. That's God.
Yes.
That has to be put in you. And, you know, he comes from a legacy of pastors. His grandfather was the pastor of Ebenezer, his father pastor. So he watched them serve. And it's that attitude of being a servant and really seeing and feeling that thing that God felt, that agape love
yes.
goes beyond you, you know?
Yes.
And I look at it, when I think of this, that day, every time the day comes around, I always ask myself, are you seeing beyond yourself?
Mm.
And I think where we are now, people only feel and see their own situation.
Yes.
And if you don't go beyond that, we are going to be a broken world as you can see us now.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate when people say, this is the most divided we've ever been. What are you saying?
No.
You know, and what they're really saying, we're just seeing.
Yeah.
Because you have to come outside of your own self when it affects you.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so now you're just seeing. Proud Boys been here. They just name different things.
Yes.
You know, KKK, you know, and all the other names they have, you know, they've always been that underbelly of the world. But one thing Martin did was he faced the issues as they came. You know, he got his job at his church. He was settled, just came out of school. And here goes this woman sitting in the back in the bus. Here she goes, sitting on the bus in the wrong seat, gets thrown in jail. That is me.
Yeah.
If she's in jail, I'm in jail, you know? And that spirit spread, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what I love the most, that agape love. That's what the thing that moves through him, where he sees beyond his circumstance. He's marching, not because his children need it, not because his family needs it. He's marching because the world needs it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And we saw that. We didn't see his life. Many people won't know. They don't know how brilliant he was.
Right.
Because he came down. He humbled himself and became the least of these. You know, and I think that's the hardest thing to do, to become the least of things. So that impresses me more. That's what I ask myself, Bobby, where are you? Yeah. What's important to you today?
Yes. You know? Yes. Yeah. Yes. But thank you. You guys, if you don't need a break, I do. So we're going to go to a commercial and we'll be back. Thank you.
We shall overcome. One day we shall overcome. One day we shall overcome. The Lord, one day.
Hello, Juno. We're back from our break, and today our discussion is Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and the holiday coming up on Monday, January 18th. Our guests are Pastor Bobby Lewis of Harlem, New York, and Dr. Alonzo Patterson of Anchorage. And we're in this beautiful discussion about the life and accomplishments of Dr. King, and we're going to continue. So our next question is Dr. King's dream or his vision for nonviolent approach, especially in our world today, still relevant? Do you think that if he were alive, would this approach still work? Pastor Bobby.
I think it would work. When he's talking about nonviolence, I think it's yes, we have the army and we have our navy, we have all of our armed services, but I think this is dealing with our emotional response to people. You know, I think when he said, "If we live eye for an eye, everybody will be blind." Mm-hmm. You know, we cut your eye, cut my eye, we're all walking around blind. But really seeing each other is hard, you know. But that comes back to that place of, I know that when Gandhi was such an inspiration to him because of the way Gandhi handled their relationship with Great Britain, and they pull back their resources. They start and he used that example for the bus boycott, and where they got off the buses together, and he says, when you see your white brother, you speak to him. Uh-huh. This is not about offense. This is about teaching them how important for us to live together. Uh-huh. And without you and without me, watch, you'll see a breakdown. Mm-hmm. And they saw how important African Americans were to the economy. You know,
right.
That's something I think today he would be so devastated how divided we are, where this is my stuff and your stuff and their stuff. And even the churches. I mean, we have churches here competing with each other.
Yeah.
Churches across the street trying to get, you know, build bigger than that. I'm like, what happens if we came together? Mm-hmm. And that's why this thing of segregation had to be broken down, because we came together in the church.
Right.
But then we have these educated Negroes who got blessings of the blessings of Martin Luther King. They got the blessing to be able to go to school and be able to get all these things. You don't need the church anymore.
Right.
And that's why we got the breakdown again. Mm-hmm. Because you're not leaving the physical church. You're leaving the spiritual place, mm-hmm. that carried that movement.
Yes.
That spiritual place of agape love. And that's unconditional love, where you see yourself in other people. If they need something and I have it, this is yours.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I think he would be devastated how selfish we are.
Yeah.
And how we have left our spiritual base. We have left our faith, and we become so independent. Like, you know, this is mine, that's yours. But he went to school so that he can come out and be better for everybody else, you know? And I think that's the thing. He would be disappointed in that.
Okay. All right. Dr. Patterson, what do you think Dr. King would do or say in the current state of our country today?
One of the driving factors for King was we can be better together.
Yeah. Yes.
I recall an episode in some of the marches where one of our Caucasian brothers walked up to King and spit in his face, and he stuck out his tongue and took in some of the saliva and looked up and said, "Now you're a little part of me."
Mm.
King would be relevant today because his principle was about love, and love is always relevant. King was relevant because he pointed out that the fallacies of a brother because or sister because of their color has no differences. Hate is just hate, no matter where it comes from. So therefore, love is relevant. Concern and respect for others is relevant. Nonviolence will achieve hope for future relationship. That is relevant. Human needs are relevant. Basic care for your family and treating your neighbor, as the Bible says, is relevant. And so we could go on and on. Mm-hmm. The important thing is King was eternal in that his message was divine. He brought a message to us that most of the world doesn't want to see. King,
right,
as Christian as he was, he did not see Christian, he saw people. As saved as he was, he did not just see the church, he saw God's creation. Mm-hmm. And he sought to bring us together to come to recognize one another, to embrace one another, to learn to love one another. The important thing about King's message is that it is perpetual. You're not going to get it all in any one dimension of time, but it will evolve, and each generation reaches for its piece of King's message. They may not have known King, but then the message is still formed in the cycle of the generation in which the issues are raised. So I believe it's just as relevant today as it was then. Whenever we find the things he talked about were really not things that are tangible. He said that when I'm gone, if they want to say something about me, tell them where I stood on the wall. Tell them where I stood in trying to help poor. Tell them where I stood in trying to better humanity. That is still the cry for today. Because just as it was yesterday, it is today. Each generation brings this corruption, but each sunrise brings us hope.
Okay, good. I like that. Okay, both of you are men of the cloth, as they say. You're both pastors, you're both leaders in your own respect. And I'd like for you to share with us, each of you, what are you doing, or what are your ministries doing to further Dr. King's dream, are to bring equality, freedom, justice in the world today. Dr. Patterson?
Well, our role in ministry, as you know, I'm no longer pastor. We have a new pastor at Shiloh. I retired. However, you retire from pastor, you never retire from God's call or ministry on your life. In our role now, as we serve the A.B. Patterson Community Ministry, out of that, we do a community table, which is free. You bring it free, you take it. It provides food, clothing, shelter. Now we have the Corona 19 Relief Center. And what we do is issue our PPE, such as masks and gloves and stuff, free to people, so that they can survive. We have clothes there. The people who don't have, you come get them clothes, shoes, food, furniture, whatever. And so we've built an open air shelter there on the corner of the ministry center on Juneau and 17th in Anchorage. And ours is, if you see it, need it, take it. If you don't, if you see it, if you got it at home and don't need it, bring it. And it's amazing. We picked up about 6,000 to 7,000 people already.
Oh, wow.
Who've gone through that ministry. And we are now issuing out our gloves and masks, trying to save people and help them to survive until we can get some vaccine in their arm and get them to be safe. That's just one of the things we are doing. We're really all over the state, but right now we're targeting Anchorage, Eagle River, Palmer, and Fairbanks.
Okay. Wow, that's a lot. Pastor Bobby.
Amazing. the same thing with us, and we work with we work hand in hand with the homeless shelters here. We work hand in hand with building houses for homeless. We work hand in hand. We just got back from Benin, West Africa, working with the 190 churches. Churches of Pentecost there, and taking food, and we just sent computers there to help them just with the basics, and building up their nurse. One thing about when we go to Benin, they have built a hospital. There's no roof. You see, with us, we gotta wait till we raise. Well, not them.
Yeah.
They know the need. They are building. They start already, you know, before the building is even finished. And we just got back from there and working hard and showing the same compassion. Oh, God, we have a church in Spain. We're mm-hmm. there in November and working with them, dealing with the same. We are the same everywhere. And mm-hmm. I'm mad because I can't come to Juneau. I can't come to Fairbanks.
Yeah.
I'm so upset about that because it's such a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And but doing the same thing, seeing all of us as brothers and sisters, you know. And I know people say, I don't see color. We need to see color.
Mm.
You need to understand who my brother is, what his culture is, what they need,
mm-hmm.
where they are. When I come in and meet people in Spain, they're different from me. I got to learn what their needs are, meet them where they are, you know. And I think we need to truly see each other, you know, so that we can serve each other, not judge each other. You know, King said we don't judge by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character.
Yes.
But we need to see each other so we can serve each other. And I think that's what he did.
Yes. Thank you. So how would you encourage someone who might be listening today? And they said, well, I don't have a congregation. I am not a leader. I don't have the resources these gentlemen might have. How can I, as one person, further the dream of Dr. King? Pastor Bobby?
Volunteer.
Okay.
Volunteer. That's our challenge, church. Don't you dare let a Dr. King Day come by where you don't volunteer and get connected with the people. See what the needs are. Once you do it, it does something.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
You know, I think of how much energy we use climbing ladders, trying to get to the next level and get there, and there's no fulfillment.
Yeah.
And I want to tell people, the fulfillment, go back down
yeah.
to your ground.
Yeah.
Humble yourself. Wash somebody's feet.
Yeah.
Help somebody. And that, I'm telling you, your heart fills up.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I think that's what volunteer.
Yes.
You don't have to start anything. Go to Dr. Patterson's church. You better believe they will point you somewhere.
Yes.
Because they have the heart of the King.
Yes.
And the King.
Yes.
So I say join in with somebody and donation.
Yes.
Donation.
Yes.
Give
yes.
to an organization.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Patterson, what would you say to someone who is just looking to further the dream?
Well, I think, listen to Bishop, I think that they're the principle I teach in the church. It's really an economic principle, and I won't go into it, but mine is pay God, pay yourself, and then pay everybody else. One has to develop a profile of oneself and the value you are to a community. One has to understand that God has embedded in us, it is inherent in us, the principle of leadership. Someone is always following us. So I need to demonstrate the highest that is in us to the lowest that is in others, and make them to know the capacity to rise as a phoenix from the ashes of their ungodliness or worldliness and can become better in the world before us. And this generation needs to understand that they rest upon yesterday's generation, and they have to prepare to support tomorrow's generation. We cannot just say we have nothing to do, because it is a building block process. one generation rests upon another. So I would say to them, you're relevant. You may not be in a church, but you're relevant. You may not be even in a leadership role, but someone is looking at you, following you, and evaluating or making that decision based upon who you are. I will simply say, as I say to the community, in fact, this coming Thursday, we will be doing a round table on Dr. King with many of the ministers here in the city, Native communities, some of the Hispanic community, African-American community, talking about how to deal with the national theme, hewing out of the mountain of despair a spark of hope. Hope becomes the central thought for us, as we say, even in the face of the attack on the capital of our nation and the threat against the capitals of all of the cities of America, that we're better than that. And you don't have to remain who you are, whoever you were, because each of us can rise to its highest potential if we simply respect one another.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. And with that, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Thank you so much.
But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Of you in Juneau know, and Dr. Alonzo Patterson from Anchorage, Alaska, who your host knows very well. Anyway, what would you gentlemen say to the younger generation today, the millennials and maybe even the younger population, about Dr. King, his vision, his dream? Why would you encourage them to embrace it? Dr. Patterson?
I would ask the young generation a question. And that question would be, where are you taking the world today? Because contemporary issues and modernized phraseology and principles, I would say to them, look at what you're doing, because it will determine what you will be on tomorrow. We've forgotten the value of family. We've forgotten the respect of neighbors. We've forgotten the right of others. And it's all about me, mine, and the almighty dollar or thing. And that's where we focus. We look at TVs for 30 minutes and want to answer all of our problems. We look at the microwave and want our hot dogs in 1 minute, 10 seconds. We look at education and think we can look at TV and get everything we need for the future. We don't want to work because we think we got a shortcut to economic sufficiency. Where are you taking the world? Because the world is abandoning much of the foundation. It is eroding under our feet as we speak. When last time you saw your parent, or when last time you saw your family, that's not important anymore. You know, we look at what is happening on TV, and it becomes real to us. People are dying in the street, bleeding, and we walk over them because we're so insensitive now to the fact that blood on TV and blood in reality is two different things. That's why they call our president a reality president. They he didn't get some things. But in the end, I would say to them, please understand, make your own move toward what tomorrow is going to be, and you better make sure you get it right because you may not have another chance. The other day when the mob surged upon the Capitol, no one was prepared for that. Mm-mm. And I thought about, as Pastor Lewis was talking, the Bible say there will be a sudden explosion, in paraphrase, and you won't know what happened. You know, each of those people were totally caught off guard.
Right.
And I saw brave people, strong people, people who can raise their hand and change a city, start a war, hiding under benches and pews because they were caught off guard. Young people, be careful, because whoever the old folk like me, because we've lived most of our life, I can count the next 10 to 15 years, I'll be out of here. You got 30, 40, 50, 60 years to endure this mess. Mm-hmm. And I hope you know what you're doing, because you're going to have to live with it. Mama said, make your bed hard because you're asleep in it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Patterson. Pastor Bobby.
The sad thing, you were talking about television, and that television has become our companion because we have bought so much stuff.
Yeah.
That now parents have to work 2 and 3 jobs just to pay for
it. Yeah.
And now stuff has become our value.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at our rappers, our young, brilliant rappers.
Yes.
They are, and the only reason you are famous is because you are a brilliant writer.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, to you're looking at your image and you got stacks of dollars and gold chains and buying all these cars, and all of that stuff is going to pass away.
Bling, bling.
It's going to bling, bling. It's going to go. And if you had to judge Dr. King, we don't know what cars he had.
No.
We don't know what houses they had. We don't know where they live. We don't know how much money he made. This man got a Nobel Peace Prize. Right. He was not broke.
No.
But guess what his greatest wealth was? Serving others. His brothers and sisters. He barely had time to be in the beautiful house that was blown up twice.
Right.
He barely had time to experience the luxuries of his degrees and all of it because he was marching with poor people. Mm-hmm. He was marching to make sure they could eat. Not the caviar or whatever, but just a meal. So I say, volunteer somewhere. Just 6 hours to a program, to community service. Just make yourself do it and you will learn how important.
Yes.
Because we had parents that made us do community service. Go make your bed. That was my community service. Mm-hmm. Cut that grass. Mm-hmm. Go stack that wood. That was my community. You don't have that. But I beg you, if you want to have a life that will be remembered, put at least 6 hours of community service in your life.
Yes.
And
yes.
It will change you.
Yes, it will.
Some senior citizen needs to hear you. Read to them. It changes you inside.
Yes, yes, yes. And I know for a fact I have many years of volunteer work here in this community on many boards and many organizations, and it is so fulfilling to give yourself to others. And so I would encourage anyone, and you may not be of the younger generation, you might be of our generation who are talking to you today, and if you find yourself with, what can I do? volunteer. Find someone to help. It might be your neighbor. It might be someone you work with, somebody that you just in the line with at the washateria or the grocery store. There's plenty that we can do. This is just a segue into what we're going to be doing on Monday the 18th is a food and diaper drive at the Mendenhall Mall from 12 to 3. Many have asked what we're doing for our MLK Day this year. We can't gather as we usually do because of COVID. So we chose to do the drive. And we want to help a couple agencies to be able to help those that are in need in our community. So we encourage you, Juno, to come out to the Mendenhall Mall at 12 noon to 3 o'clock on the 18th of January and help us be the hand that's going to bless our community. I want to go into another part of Dr. King's era, and that's the music. What part did it play in the civil rights movement? Pastor Bobby?
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yes.
If I had a hammer.
Yes.
I'd hammer in them, and everything was about how do I change the world. The music became about change. You know, we shall overcome deep in my heart.
Yes.
We'll walk hand in hand. Those songs are all about community, that you cannot do this alone.
Right.
Everything was about reaching out, helping your fellow man, you
yes.
know. So that was some of my favorite music.
Yes. Awesome. 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 Dr. Patterson?
That was a song done that says, looking back over my life, I can see signs a wise man heeds, but I know I'll never make that same mistake again. And it goes on and on. The music of Dr. King was music borrowed from the previous generation and turned into a building block for the civil rights movement. It bespoke of our heritage and, of course, borrowed by humanity, and many of us use it regardless of who we are. We were singing when we came out of Africa.
Yes, yes.
Only in a different ritual.
Yes.
We had certain rituals that we did. And so I think music has been the highway upon which we traveled across boundaries of indifference. It has been a place where we have been able to talk when we didn't know what language you spoke. It carries within its capacity the power of love and change, and in some case indifference and anger, in order to communicate to you the pain that comes out of our differences. I think King music had to do with encouraging our people who had been oppressed and suppressed to say to them, soon and very soon we're going to see the King. Precious Lord, take my hand. As my grandfather used to say, I wouldn't mind dying if dying was all. You know, Jesus will fix it after a while. These were songs that brought us through. Walk with me, Lord, walk with me. I could go on and on. But these were songs that shaped to encourage the people of our generation, at least of my generation, that it's going to be better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I trust in God. It's going to be better tomorrow. Some would sing the song, if I don't wake up in the morning, everything will be all right, and on. So it's a message, it's a music, it's a ministry, and it is a highlighted place in history that we all go back to
yes.
when we lose our boundaries.
Yes, yes. Love it, love it, love it, love it. And I like the call and response songs a lot. And I mean, I just love it where you have a leader and then the rest just come in, and just love the music of that era. It's powerful, and I just really thank God for it. So as we come to a close, gentlemen, I want to say thank you so much for being a part of our conversation today. And if there's anything else, I'll give you a couple minutes each to have a last word. And then we'll go on. Dr. Patterson, if you have a last word that you would like to say to our community today.
I never give it a last word. I give it a word before the last.
Okay. Give us a word before the last word. I love you, Dad.
It's so good to meet you.
Yes.
And to have you share with my family. It's such a blessing to make that contact. And if say to all of the listeners of this program, we in Alaska share a different, we are somewhat semi-isolated, but yet in the better sense. But keep in mind, we're still people, and we still have the responsibility to love and care about one another. And the love is higher and is better than hate. Joy is what we get out of knowing that our neighbors think toward us as we want, as they want us to think toward them. And if we can do that, what a great blessing God has for us. King died for a purpose and for a cause. We ought to live to fulfill that purpose and that cause.
Amen. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Pastor Bobby.
Because I'm a pastor, one thing I want to say is that I have, for 12 years, have been hearing about this thing called Dr. Patterson, and the power and the renaissance of it all. And so this day, I am so happy to be in the same place to meet you, Dr. Patterson. It is amazing. I completely understand every word Sherry said. So I can't wait to physically hold you and show you love. So it's so good to meet you. And the last thing is, thank you for thinking of me, Sherry. And I just want people to just remember that hate always ends ugly and shameful.
Yes.
It has a shameful ending. We saw that Wednesday.
Yeah.
That it all ends, well, you know, years and years of rhetoric and hate and pushing people to go against each other. It cannot be contained.
Yeah.
It always outworks us. Somebody said sin will take you further than you want to go.
Yeah.
Keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay.
Yes. Yes.
But love is a home. Love is a place that's in a space for all of us. When you love, I don't care what the person looks like that you are loving. If you love them, it may feel uncomfortable first. They may even reject you for a season. I think Dr. King was rejected. Bricks, mm-hmm. You know, even one of his black sisters stabbed him in Harlem.
Yeah.
Well, at a book signing, because people can't handle change.
Yeah.
They can't handle love because you can't touch it. You can't manage it. It is just so beautiful, and it gives you so much joy. Even after that, he was back on the line marching.
He was.
Because love lifts you up and carries you, and it changes all of us. That's why we're talking about Martin Luther King now.
Yes.
Because goes on and on and on.
Yes.
I am Martin Luther King.
Amen.
I am Martin Luther King.
Yes.
He lives. He never died. They killed the dreamer, but not the dream.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Are Martin Luther King.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Patterson and Pastor Lewis. Thank you so much for being with us today. And we just want to remind our community to come and be a part of the food drive, the food and diaper drive on the 18th. And you can find out more about it if you like us on Facebook. You'll be able to get those updates. It's from 12 noon to 3 p.m. at the Menin Hall Mall.
We'll see you next week when we will be discussing the new vice president-elect, Kamala Harris, and other women of color who has shattered the glass ceiling. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
This is for the outcast soul, lost control, no one knows. Sing it for the can't go back. Sing it for the broken past. Sing it for the just found out. Life is now upside down. If you're looking for hope tonight, raise your head.
It's not so